everyone. You're listening to the Aviation Reporter, your podcast about everything related to airports, airlines, and aviation industry. In this episode, in collaboration with Emma Systems, you will hear a fascinating interview with Gurjit Wood. She is the aviation leader for UK, India, Middle East, and Africa at Europe. We're going to have a great discussion with Jean-Luc Devisha. Let's give the floor to them.
I'm Gurjit Wood. I'm currently leading the aviation business for the UK, India, Middle East and Africa for Arup, and I'm leading on sustainable aviation. So Arup is a company that's been around for about 75 years. We've got 16,000 members, and essentially we're a consultancy who solves complex business, developmental, operational challenges. And we do that through planning, design, technology, and bringing an engineering focus as well. And we help many clients, and we work across many industries, health, water, buildings, et cetera. So we're not just aviation. And in aviation, for us, it's about supporting our clients with their operations and services so that actually they become more sustainable. And Arup has had sustainability at the heart of our strategy for many years. And we want our clients to be more sustainable, efficient, resilient, and also help them with their operating costs. And we work with many aviation clients and airports across the world. And I've been in aviation for over 30 years. I started life working with an airline, which many may have forgotten by now, British Midland in the UK. And then I went on to work for Canadian Airlines. And since I've been working on aviation projects in UK, Europe, Middle East, Australia and America. And, I find aviation exciting and challenging. Aviation brings people together. It's an incredible sector that sort of shrinks distances. It connects people. It connects humanity and allows us to engage as a global community. So a great passion of mine.
Well, cool. And I do remember British Midland. I really love the airline. So the white hair explains a lot.
But, same as me many years ago, that was.
I think, of course, what you said, I mean, aviation is all about passion. It's all about experiences. It's all about what you can do and how you can move around. But of course, we can't disconnect it from the sustainability element. And you already kind of indicated that. And I also recently talked to Airbus that also has different plans to kind of move to the sustainability area. Now, can I ask you, how do you see the sustainability taking place? How can the aviation industry kind of find the necessary solutions so that going forward, they become much more sustainable than they have been so far?
Yeah, absolutely true. We are all working towards a net zero, carbon net zero future. And that includes the aviation industry. And the aviation industry is probably one of the most difficult industries to decarbonize. We're accountable for 2.5% of global carbon emissions, and a significant portion of that comes from flight. And we tend to work with airports, and it's really critical. Airports do play a critical role, but the majority of the emissions come from flight. And I know people, the engineer manufacturers, are working on different fuels and different technologies for flight. And where we help our airports become more sustainable is really, we see sustainable aviation across five pillars for us. The first one being transition to net zero. We think the adoption of circular economies is the principles of circular economy is really important. We feel that improving health and well-being, so looking after the community in which you operate in, is really important. And of course, respecting planetary boundaries, and that's to do with diversity. But we also think about the enhancing the resilience of communities that our industry impacts. Taking each one of those in turns, with regard to net zero, zero, we support our clients to reduce their carbon footprint at airports, and that's principally through reducing energy consumption. This could be changing to more efficient lighting, or it could be reducing the air cooling. You know, if you just turn that dial down slightly, it can have a massive impact. It's effectively managing their buildings so that they can also reduce cost and reduce their footprint. We also support with surface access. So sometimes surface access can account for about a third of the emissions at airports. So we prioritize the use of public transport to access the airport. We prioritize eliminating the use of fossil fuels on ground support equipment or airport vehicles or airline vehicles, and moving those to electrical or hydrogen cell vehicles. Other parts, we look at optimizing the airfield layouts and airfield operations to sort of help reduce the aircraft fuel consumption. And when we talk about adopting circular economy principles to become more sustainable, we're basically helping our clients keep their costs down, as well as minimizing the impact on the environment. We promote responsible consumption, so we try and minimize the materials we're using in aviation, particularly when we're designing new buildings or when we're refurbishing. You know, there's an awful lot of refurbishing that goes on in terminals just because of the wear and tear, etc., and retail turnover. So we always suggest, for example, you know, let's have a look at the carpet tiles or the chairs. Can they be refurbished rather than being thrown away? Can they be passed on to somebody for reuse? And we try also to design with low embodied carbon materials and design for disassembly and reuse. So once perhaps an airport has finished with something, like I was saying, the retail units, maybe those items can then be reused in, you know, perhaps the local community or the local businesses. So we, you know, circular economy principles are an important part of sustainable aviation, and it's extremely useful when we can repurpose or reuse materials. When we speak about health and well-being, we, as part of the sustainable aviation roadmap, we really ask our airports to focus on designing user-centric infrastructure. So taking on board comments from the shop floor to improve operations for employees, taking on board feedback, and critically, ensuring that we have an inclusive environment for different physical, psychological needs when it comes to passengers and employees. For example, we're working with an airport at the moment. We're evaluating every step of the journey from the curb to the airport to see what changes that we can make to make that journey better and more equitable for people to have the same experience. Perhaps they're hard of hearing, perhaps they're anxious, perhaps they're partially sighted or less mobile. So we're working with an airport right now to make sure that we enhance that passenger experience across all passengers. We also work with another airport. We're looking at sort of a day in the life of. So let's see how a security agent or a check-in agent or a baggage agent sees their day. And then how can we change processes? And it could be small tweaks in order to, you know, make their work better. And that particularly helps with retention and recruitment. And of course, you know, many have seen the headlines at the moment. Recruitment into our industry is difficult. Retention is difficult. So let's have a look at where we can tweak those processes to make that workday better for individuals. And part of that also is working with our airports to provide quality views and daylight, because all of those enhance the well-being of the individual in that environment. And we also, you know, promote safer and healthier materials in buildings, for example, organic cleaning materials or nature-based materials such as timber roofs that we've just recently done in airport with a timber roof. And that for us is all about making the individual, be it the passenger, the employee, etc., feel more comfortable and look after their well-being in that arena. And then the fourth pillar that we look at when we think about sustainable aviation at airports is actually respecting planetary boundaries. helping airports minimize their environmental impact. So that could be on water, introducing plants and habitats. So we develop ecological restorative plans using airport land for vegetation, helping airports create vegetation zones or maybe green roofs. But we also have to bear in mind bird strike, you know, the impact that can have on aircraft and other restrictions that we do find in airports. And so bearing all of that in mind and seeing if we can actually grow or create local flora and fauna plans for construction phasing, for example. You know, normally at an airport, you see a patch of land and somebody will put something on it if it's available. So let's use all of those patches of land to maybe create something that's better for the planet. And then the other way that we support, you know, respecting planetary boundaries is to reuse water. Use water capturing systems for stormwater, grey water, or implement water conservation technologies such as low flush toilets or tap sensors that, so that people don't leave water running all day in an airport. And we try and support also by reducing the amount of bottled water that's consumed, so promoting bottle filling stations at airports. And lastly, for us, our last pillar when it comes to sustainable aviation at airports is resilience of communities. In addition to the employment opportunities an airport can provide, we help our clients to develop solutions that are cognizant to local community requirements so that they ensure growth and longevity in the local community. And sometimes it's just as simple as having local academies for training apprentices and supporting local community initiatives and allowing, you know, charitable organizations using parts of the airport facility to do that. And sometimes it's using the workforce at the airport to have a charitable day, clearing local parks or supporting in some way. You know, and the airport, it really can be at the heart of a catalyst for change and for innovation. They have a critical mass to be able to influence local decisions. For example, you know, they're the transport hub as well, and they're able to influence local transport providers to perhaps change to electric taxis or hydrogen buses, and that supports that journey on that sustainable airport, becoming sustainable airports.
I like this, the link between circularity and what you do with the local communities. Huh? The fact that there is a lot of things you can reuse, you don't have to throw them away, or you reuse them at the airport, or you can find ways to kind of see with local communities what to do with them. So I think that's quite cool. One of the elements you touched upon was kind of the airfield design. That brings me more into my next question, so thank you for that. But the airfield design helping to kind of capture better the sustainability aspects. And it also makes me think that some airports often are not located where they should be located to kind of benefit more from the weather conditions, the winds, whatever there is. And that brought me to my question, shouldn't kind of we think at the start where to best put the airport so that we can benefit most from all the climate conditions?
In a lot of instances, everything starts with the design of the airport, but sometimes you can't impact the design of the airport because it's already there. And you're absolutely right. You know, we always say design with the end in mind. And often our operational readiness experts are part of the design process. But we know in most parts of the world, you know, there's aging infrastructure. Airports are quite aged infrastructure. And given the impact of COVID on the industry, when investment has been extremely difficult, you know, the aviation industry has lost a lot of investment because they've had to dig deep in order just to survive. So, yes, there are existing airports that maybe have been, you know, designed and built before we were thinking about carbon reduction in emissions, etc. But given sometimes given those building limitations, the airport operator can still create policies. They can create governance in order to reduce carbon emissions in the operation. So, for example, you know, setting renewable energy targets, or setting goals for waste reduction, or setting goals for water capture and recycling, you know, these can all be embedded in an existing operational airport and embedded in the existing business, so that they're impacting day-to-day operations and reducing operational emissions. You know, we can introduce local energy generation from renewables. So in existing infrastructure, we can install solar, or we can install biomass technologies. There's also small tweaks that you can make that have an impact in the building. You can, like I was saying earlier, you can control the cooling and the heating and differentiate between peak and off-peak, so that turning that dial down just slightly has an amazing impact, not only on cost savings, but also on emissions. If you're not able to seek renewable energy or green energy, then turning that dial down does have an impact on emissions. And an operational airport with the limitations on the building can also reduce their consumables. So, for example, changing behavior within the operation towards a paperless strategy, or the other thing I was talking about earlier, introducing a green vehicle strategy, so that the vehicles on the airport are moving towards hydrogen cell or electric. And the other things are, you know, you can implement green cleaning. You can quite simply reduce the use of hazardous chemicals, and that has impact on the people using those chemicals, but also has impact on the drainage of the water and the recycling of that water. So although there may be building limitations, some of the interventions that I've mentioned to reduce emissions are absolutely applicable in an operational environment.
Yeah. And then, of course, when you say there are a lot of things we can do to kind of reduce the impact, I mean, what you said before on the kind of the journey of what employees have to go through on the security side, whatever side, will also bring about a lot of elements which can help to improve how the airport deals with certain elements, like you said, hazardous materials, or move to other aspects, or how people collaborate at the airport, because a lot of waste there is also kind of being done by a lot of people running around. If you see the airport operations, you see a lot of kind of trucks where you say, okay, I just saw this before, where is he going to? I think there's a lot of movements which sometimes are a bit useless. But I think I like the full approach from kind of employee to all the aspects that that go beyond and touch indeed the different airport aspects. Coming back to your five pillars, coming back to sustainability, maybe it's a bit obvious, but what do you, because like you said, you have 30 years of experience in the industry, what do you see moving forward as the key trends? What would you say is something we really need to watch for the coming years?
So for us, I think the biggest challenge going forward is that, you know, no doubt net zero by 2050 is challenging in our industry. But I think our biggest challenge is equitable access to sustainable air travel, so that sustainable air travel doesn't just revert to becoming less affordable to the communities who really often rely on it for their livelihoods. So personally for me, that's our biggest challenge, is making sure that we have equitable access to sustainable air travel. But in order to achieve net zero, we also need collaboration. We have to have a look at a whole system approach. None of us can be agents of change on our own. So in order to achieve net zero in aviation, we really need airports, airlines, handlers, the supply chain, such as energy providers, the aircraft manufacturers, and governments all come together. And I don't mean government setting unrealistic goals and penalizing entities, but actually governments, for example, supporting innovation in new fields, supporting decarbonisation technologies. So giving some confidence to their innovators to pursue new initiatives and maybe giving them some support, because this is a long journey. It's a difficult journey, and we need everybody to come together. We need, you know, throughout the globe, we need wide-scale investment to decarbonize energy grids. Airports are huge energy consumers. And so we need to be investing. We need governments and we need people to come together to invest in renewable energy. We also need airspace modernization. You know, aviation truly is a global industry. If one airport is initiating some new ways of working, and if they're not replicated around the world, it really makes very little difference. So things like airspace modernization are really key to improve that aircraft efficiency. You know, flying between two countries, for example, we always know how long it's going to take. We have hours to prepare, but yet we have difficulty in allowing that aircraft to land efficiently sometimes, and it flies around for far too long, emitting even more carbon while it's waiting to land. So I do see that the solution has to be about coming together as a whole system. For example, the engine manufacturers, we need their support. And SAF's sustainable aviation fuels can't be the answer for everyone. Supply is limited. Production, and particularly transportation of SAFs, doesn't always lead to the reduction of emissions in some parts of the world. So, and it is a total system approach. And airports may be feeling some pain going along this journey as well, because they will need to invest. You know, we may see airports having to deal with aircraft for four different fuels. We might have aircraft with fossil fuels, with SAFs, electric or hydrogen aircraft. And it's really challenging to update airfield infrastructure while our industry innovates and tests different types of craft. And we also have the disruptors, as I like to call them. You know, what's going to be the impact of electric automated guided vehicles on the airport business model? What's going to be the impact of advanced air mobility, you know, drones for people on our industry? And recently, you know, to complicate matters further, we've seen an issue with resources. We've seen people leave aviation during COVID. Some of our clients have lost an awful lot of experience, and we're seeing fewer people joining the industry. We really need to attract the best brains to help us resolve these key challenges. And having said that, there are many positives. You know, we know that the engine manufacturers are heavily invested in finding a solution, with some investing in hydrogen power aircraft, others investing in hybrid electric aircraft. And all of them in the interim are focusing on ultra-efficient aircraft, which dramatically reduce the fuel burn and reduce carbon emissions and reduce noise pollution. We know that airports have started this journey to become more sustainable, and organisations such as IATA, you know, the recent announcements by them supports our industry goal of net zero by 2050. And aviation has a history of innovation and resilience to overcome these challenges. And this is a big challenge, but we, you know, as long as we all come together, I do see that we are addressing them slowly but surely and moving in the right direction.
Well, that was actually a very nice kind of end statement. So collaboration is one of the key elements I heard from your comments. So that's always a very nice thing to end the podcast with. So I wanted to thank you for your time today and your very nice remarks and thoughts. I think there's a lot of challenges going forward, but also a lot of solutions. And of course, there's not one solution, like there's not one challenge. So, very nice to have heard from you, and very nice for you to have reserved some time for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This podcast has been brought to you by MS Systems, EMA helps airports to optimize their ground operations by correlating real-time data through AI, including ACDM. You can visit www.ema.euro to find out more.